Don't think you have shared the gospel if you haven't talked about the blood, the cross, and the resurrection. You see, the cross is good, you know, but you realize the cross without the resurrection is a dead message. You realize that? What gives the message power is that Jesus Christ not only died on the cross, but that he was raised. And because he lives, we shall live also.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
This week, we will hear the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, The Hope of the Gospel. Last week, we heard how the gospel promises heavenly citizenship and a home with Christ that can never be taken away. We also heard how the gospel holds promise for this present life as well, a promise of God's best for his children regardless of the challenges they may face. Now, in the second part of that message, which we will be hearing this evening, Pastor Grant takes us back to his text in Acts chapter 24, bringing out how the gospel message causes different responses in different people and how each of these kinds of responses have eternal consequences. So listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings another challenging message from God's Word. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Right now, I'm going to help you to see some of the major characters in the Apostle Paul's life that comes up towards the end of the passage. And I'm going to deal with them as I answer the question, or as we deal with this, what are some of the common responses to the gospel of hope? And there are three important characters that I don't want us to miss before we finish this study, and I want us to observe their responses to the gospel of hope. The first response is neglect. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 24, Paul was brought for trial before the Roman governor Felix. We see that. We read that this morning. And the Bible tells us in here, let's read it just to make sure that you haven't forgotten. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 24, verse 24 and 25. He says here, and after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, Felix was Roman, she was a Jew, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as Paul spoke about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call on you. Paul spoke about righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment. You know that some people are upset at those of us who still preach about judgment. Oh, some people are mad to know that in this modern day, a preacher like me would dare to preach about hell. But I want you to know hell is still real. Young person, you may not have heard about this place called hell, but the Bible says that there is a place waiting for those who refuse to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And the Bible says the fire is never quenched in hell. The Bible says the worm does not die in hell. I remember, I will always preach about hell, because I remember the reason I got saved. When I was 9 years old, I went home. There was no one there. I didn't know where everybody was gone. I thought the rapture had come, and I had missed the rapture. For those of you who don't know what the rapture is, there's a day coming when the Lord Jesus will come, and he will take everybody who is a Christian to heaven. And so here I am, a 9-year-old boy. I go home. Nobody's home. My parents are not home. My brothers are not home. My grandmother is not home. I am so sure the rapture has come. I started to cry because I know if I missed heaven, I would certainly not miss. Did you hear what I'm saying? If you miss heaven, you will not miss hell. And I did not want to go to hell because I knew about the fire of hell. I didn't like fire. I didn't like worms either. You see, if we don't talk about the consequence of sin, it is possible that some people believe I can keep living the way I want to live. I can do what I want. And when I die, I just die. But my Bible says that after death, there comes the judgment. There is life after death. And it's here that we make a decision as to where we will spend eternity. And I thank God that as a 9-year-old boy, I was able to receive Jesus because everybody showed up and I received Jesus as my Savior. Have you received Him yet? Some of you are 9, some of you are older than 9. Have you received Jesus yet? Have you trusted Him? Come on now. Are you sure? This morning, I don't want anybody to leave here with a hope so salvation. I talk to too many people with a hope so salvation. I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. Man, if hell is for real, you don't want to have a hope so salvation. You need a know so salvation. Amen. That you know that you know that you know that you have been born again, that Jesus lives in your life, that you're going to be in heaven. But listen, this guy Felix, he neglected the gospel. The Bible says when he heard it, when he heard the gospel, the Bible said it made him nervous. He was scared. He was afraid. You see that? Felix knew he wasn't living right. You see, when he married Drusilla, this Jewish woman, she was already married to another man and she was not divorced from the man. And Felix knew he was not living right. And so the Bible said it made him very afraid. The Bible has a way of making you sweat. Right now, some of you are sweating and you think, oh my goodness, why don't they turn down the heat? I'm sweating because I'm preaching. You're not sweating because of the heat. Sometimes you're here, you know, sometimes I listen to these people give testimonies. One dear brother gave one under the tent and he was saying how he came here and he was wondering why people went to the pastor and told the pastor all of his business. You see, the Spirit has a way of saying to you, yes, I'm talking to you. You need... That's for you. You need salvation. And I believe the Spirit of God is talking to somebody right now. Some of you are trying your best not to listen. Do you know that happens sometimes? When the Spirit of God starts saying, yes, it's you. You say, you try and zone out. You try your best to zone out. But would this morning, you would zone in as the Spirit of God prompts you. Felix heard the gospel. The Bible says it made him afraid. But you notice what he did. He neglected the gospel. Felix said to Paul, go away for now. Some more convenient day, I will call for you. Felix neglected the gospel. He put off taking action. And this is one of the tricks of the devil. One of the tricks of the devil is to get you to put off taking action. To say some more convenient day, someday in the future, I can get saved. It's the devil's lie. My Bible, here's what, do you know God's time is the present? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God's invitation is for today. Not for tomorrow. For today. But second, not only neglect, but there is rejection. After Paul had been held captive in Caesarea for 2 years at this incredible palace in Caesarea, on the Mediterranean. After he'd been there for 2 years, Felix was succeeded by a new governor, Festus. And shortly after that, King Agrippa and his sister Bernice visited Festus. And Paul was summoned to present his case before them. Now, Paul knew the power of a personal testimony, and he used his testimony to share the hope he had deceived through the gospel. And I'm going to give you, and I want to make sure everybody gets this, particularly if you're a believer, because from time to time, you're going to be asked, not only by the church, but from time to time, you're going to want to give your testimony to somebody. In fact, one of the most powerful evangelistic tools you have is your personal testimony. Some Christians say, you ask them, are you witnessing, are you sharing your faith? No, I'm not sharing. I don't know enough. The most powerful tool you have is your testimony. And so what Paul does, he gives them his testimony. And I want to point out to you here three important ingredients of a testimony. If you need to make sure you include these important ingredients when you are sharing your testimony. Number one, you need to make sure that you acknowledge your sinful past. Acts 26. Because this is where he's giving his defense. Acts 26, verse number 9, as the Apostle Paul speaks to King Agrippa, to Bernice, and Festus, he says here in Acts 26, verses 9 through 11, why should it be thought incredible? Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. I was part of this death sentence, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Listen, it's important that you acknowledge your past sinfulness. None of us was born saved. Paul told it as it was. But you know, one of the things I'm so thanking God as I listen to Paul's background. Man, he was a bad dude. Had people killed, had people murdered, had people blaspheming the name of God. This is the man who was no talking. He was the one who forced people to blaspheme. Aren't you glad that there's never a sin that Jesus won't forgive? Aren't you glad that no matter how bad your past was, your bad past does not disqualify you for salvation? And I just want you to know, my friend, no matter who you are, the problem why some people are not saved, because they don't want to believe they're that bad. You see, before you can be saved, you got to be saved from your sin. And if this morning you would come to Jesus and say, Lord, I admit that I am a sinner, you have a possibility of being saved. But the second thing, don't forget the centrality of the death and resurrection of Christ. This is important. You see, it's impossible to realize I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. But listen, folks must be pointed. Some people are trying to preach a message where people rehabilitate themselves. What we are preaching is not rehabilitation. It's regeneration. Amen. It's a brand new birth that happens because of what Jesus did on the cross. So verse 23, the Apostle Paul says to them, he says that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. We are part of it. We Gentiles are right in.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. 5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Don't think you have shared the gospel if you haven't talked about the blood, the cross, and the resurrection. You see, the cross is good, you know, but you realize the cross without the resurrection is a dead message. You realize that? What gives the message power is that Jesus Christ not only died on the cross, but that he was raised. And because he lives, we shall live also. But thirdly, we need to make sure this message introduces them to the need that salvation requires repentance and commitment. And so in verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent. Turn to God and do works befitting repentance," that they should repent. You say, "Brother Brian, what is repentance?" Repentance means you make a right about turn. Listen, you are living a life of sin. You are walking in a sinful direction. And by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you decide to turn. You're turning away from sin and you're turning to God. Listen, you cannot get saved telling God, "God, please forgive me, but I really intend to keep on sinning." No, 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 no. There's got to be repentance. Have you ever repented? Have you ever repented? This morning, God invites you to come to him for salvation. But after hearing the message, Festus rejected the gospel. After hearing the message, Festus rejected the gospel. Verse 24 of chapter 26 of the book of the Acts. Now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." You know, some people believe that we are crazy. They believe that this message is so foolish. Only a crazy person would believe it. But my Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." What an incredible message this is. A message that requires you to do nothing. You see, part of the challenge is that we want a message. Many people want a message that requires them to do something. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 tells us, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves," what? "It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." We've got a message that solely by grace, Jesus did it all. My friend, that's the message this morning. Jesus paid it all. At the breaking of bread this morning, we were considering just that thought, that we were the ones who did all the evil, and Jesus was the one who paid the entire price. This morning, my friend, regardless of what you have done, you can have salvation without doing any works. Just by simply putting your faith and your trust, repenting of your sin, you can receive forgiveness. Yes, Festus rejected. Felix neglected. Festus rejected. And then finally, there is resistance. Agrippa resisted. And in Acts chapter 26, verse 28, we have, depending on what version you're reading, some versions make this clearer than others. But I tell you, depending on what, I remember as a little boy hearing the scripture and saying, "Wow, here's what it says in the New King James and in the King James." Agrippa said to Paul, the king, you see, this message is good for the commoner, and it's the same message for the king. You see, God doesn't have two messages. The same message is good for everybody. And when Agrippa heard the message, he was convicted, and Agrippa said to Paul, you have almost persuaded me. What? To become a Christian? Agrippa says, the king says, you have almost persuaded me. What a tragedy. He almost made a decision, but he resisted. You know, I don't know why, but you know, scholars tell us his sister Bernice. He comes to the meeting with his sister Bernice, and the scholars tell us that Bernice had been in several failed marriages. And now, Agrippa and his sister Bernice were in an incestuous relationship. And perhaps as Agrippa hears the call of God, he is not willing to give up his sinful lifestyle. The message is clear. The call of God is clear. And Agrippa says, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? What's your excuse? Why is it that right now you are not a Christian? Why is it that right now you are not sure that your sins are forgiven? What's your excuse? Agrippa says, you almost. He resisted the gospel. To be almost saved is to be eternally lost. To be almost saved is to be eternally lost. But fourth, there's not only those who have neglected. They're not only those who have rejected. They're not only those who have resisted. But thank God, they're those who have accepted. Not everyone has neglected, rejected, or resisted. Paul said, I have accepted. I was not disobedient. I accepted. And many of us in this room have accepted. The only message that gives hope. Have you accepted this message? If you still have not, I urge you, say yes to Jesus today. Father, help us. We bless you for this gospel of hope. We thank you that this gospel gives us a guarantee for tomorrow. And that it gives us a promise for today. I pray for that believer who has been struggling, that you may encourage their faith. They may come to you and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And for our friends who so far have been neglecting or rejecting or resisting the gospel, cause that today they may say, yes, I will accept. I will receive the Savior. I will become a Christian today. Lord, that's our prayer. Bring change to somebody's home. For Christ's sake, amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.